a gift prepared in advance. I want to read from Isaiah 9:1-7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoiced at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Proof for the deity of Christ and the Trinity right there. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thank you for your word. I pray, Jesus, that you encourage us and speak to us, every one of us tonight, through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. So he's, to start off, Isaiah preaching here makes a lot of prophecies about what is going to happen in the future. Now, if somebody prophesies about something and it does happen, that person is a prophet. If that person consistently prophesies and it doesn't happen, then obviously you ignore it. Now, there's an awful lot of people at the moment prophesying that this will happen in this country in an election, that kind of stuff. I would say, hold it at arm's length, but look at it in the light of Scripture. You know, but that's a separate thing. But this particular prophecy, as many other prophecies that have been given in this day and age and in the Bible, was true. He looks ahead hundreds of years in the future and sees a time where the Messiah will be born. And the Messiah comes into the world to do for us what we cannot do. He takes hold of our gloom. He takes hold of our hell-bound nature. He takes hold of our sin, our depression, everything else. And he says, look, let me have it. I can do something with it. I am capable. And most of us say, no, you're not. I'm still worshipping myself. Or what my father's father's ideas, or what my boss at work says, or what this family member says. But he says, no, I really can take hold of this. And when we give him everything, he does the most amazing things. And he unravels this slowly. He says that he will be a wonderful counselor. So a wonderful counselor, I mean, basically means that you can talk to God, you can talk to the Holy Spirit about the worst things that are happening in your life. He will unravel them. This particular tree here, about 2 or 3 years ago, we brought some new lights. And I put this tree up myself about a month and a half ago. We had to do it because we called the stuff for Christmas. But I had to put it up on my own because, of course, I can't do it with anybody. My daughter refused to do it. Or she did. She came and did a little bit. But what I did was, the lights are, there's hundreds and hundreds of lights on there. And when you get the lights out, you put them on the floor and you unravel them all over the place. And you, there's that bit where you plug in the end of the lead thinking, if this doesn't work now, my life is over. You know, because I've wasted the day. So you plug it in and you're lit up. It's brilliant. But I had to unravel everything. And what God does with you is that without the plug in, he unravels things gently with you and says, can I just come in and we'll have a look at that? And people aren't going to find out about it, but let me just have a look at this and have a look at that and deal with this nature and deal with that how your mind feels there. And God works with you because he is a wonderful counselor. He's also mighty God. Jesus Christ, the founder of Christianity, died, was rose again. His skeleton isn't lying anywhere in the world. It was miraculously taken away. We accept that and believe it by faith. He went to heaven. He was ascended into heaven. And as a result of accepting that by faith, we are saved from hell and we go to heaven. It's just brilliant. There's no other thing else like it in the world. And it's absolutely fantastic. And he is Almighty God, the one and only as well. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he's also Everlasting Father. So in other words, what it means is from the same substance of where Jesus comes from is where the Father comes from. And this great God that the people of the Old Testament have been worshipping right throughout the Old Testament. And the Ark of the Covenant was here, and the Tent of Meeting was there. You couldn't go near it. I mean, people were making, when they were firstly coming across God in the desert, you know, Moses and Aaron and many people, they were making all kinds of mistakes in going too close to God, and people were dying. You know, I couldn't walk in Buckingham Palace and say, give us a cheese sandwich. I just couldn't do it. Prince William probably could, or Prince Charles. I couldn't do it. I'm not qualified. But Jesus' death on the cross, which was prophesied hundreds of years in advance, means that I can walk up to God, read through 1, 2, and 3 Ephesians, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, walk up to God at any time and say, God, here I am. And he looks at me and he sees the agony of Jesus on the cross and says, come close, you're perfect. Now that is great, and that's a fantastic Christmas present, and that's a good reason to put a tree up. Prince of Peace as well. The Prince of Peace, I want to know, do you have peace at the moment? I do. I do have peace. I lie down at night and I have peace. I wake up in the morning and I have peace. So, I mean, sometimes you deal with things, and sometimes, you know, actually there's problems with getting ready for school or this, or getting a breakfast, or, you know, and getting her out the door and that kind of things. And or something might happen with this or that, or you get a bill for this. But the ultimate peace is there, that you can have that peace with God. And the type of peace they were talking about here as well was the peace you get when you know you are going to heaven. And Prince of Peace. So God provided an amazing solution for mankind. Did you know that stressed, spelt backwards, is desserts? Stressed desserts. Quite a few desserts at Christmas, hopefully not too many. And the dessert that God gives us is Jesus. Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. No more gloom. We're not supposed to have gloom. We're allowed to be happy. We're allowed to say, I am happy. Whether you think it's true or not, you declare it against evidence and say it, because the Bible says you can be. And after a while, I'm not saying you deny your feelings, and I'm aware of that, but after a while, you know, just walk in the truth of the word. People who were walking in darkness had seen a great light, and I believe that was referring as well to the darkness that they were walking in the Old Testament, because they knew that they were not close to God. The presence of God had gone. Work this out for me. How come in the desert and in the tabernacle, people could not go in the Holy of Holies because they'd be destroyed by God? But how come several hundred years later, Nebuchadnezzar could go into the Holy of Holies in the temple and not be destroyed? What happened was because God left the temple at some point in that. And he does describe it at some point. So what I'm saying, God's connection with mankind had been gone. There was a gloom, but God brings in this light by saying, I have now come in the name of Jesus. Why did God wait so long to do it? Because he knew what he was. I mean, there's all kinds of theories. The Roman Empire started, so you suddenly had roads and a means of communication and transport around the world. And so obviously God thought, yep, this is the way for it to spread. I don't know. I don't know why God did it when he did it. But God also interacted with people in the Old Testament through different ways. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. He defeated the final enemy of death and brought joy. Honestly, I've been through my life at various stages where, you know, sometimes I've worried about dying, sometimes I've worried about this, but we don't have to. We don't have to worry about anything at all. And in a sense, he made the decision for us. He defeated death completely. Smith Wigglesworth, who was, if there's anybody in this room who's never heard of Smith Wigglesworth, put your hand up. You all have, that's good. Well, Smith Wigglesworth, at one point in his life, towards the end of his life, had been out somewhere, and he came home, and his wife, and I think there were sort of steps leading up to his house at Bradford, and his wife ran down the stairs and said, "Come up here quickly, come up quickly." And there was a lot of people in the upstairs room. And there was a man there in his 80s, very, very distressed, very, very distressed, and really crying. And Smith Wigglesworth walked in, and God said to him, "Just go and deal with this." And there's a man there, and he was just crying and crying and crying. And Smith said, "What's the matter?" He says, "I've committed the unpardonable sin. I've committed the unpardonable sin. I can't go to heaven." And God said to him, "You know what to do." And he just said, "Be gone in the name of Jesus. Lies of the devil." And God said to him, "This is what you were made. This is what you were born for, Smith, to take away the lies of the devil. You can't commit the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is rejecting Christ. But the point is, the devil had told this guy all his life that death would come and that he needs to worry about it. And so what Smith, as a Christian, brought light into that room. And what we do is bring light in. And every garment rolled in blood, we're destined for burning the fuel for the fire. He defeated the final enemy, death. This gift of Jesus was sent to provide, firstly, joy. We can have joy. If the fact that I have joy offends anybody, then I respect the fact that they're offended, but I still choose to have joy. Now, don't get me wrong, if somebody's passed away or something horrible's happened, or I'm not going to walk in there and dance around. But I choose to have joy, and it is real. I've had an equal amount of problems in my life that you may have had, for those who are similar age. But I'm thinking, yeah, in this moment, I'm happy. I'm happy because I'm a Christian. I'm happy because, Jesus Christ has set me free. We're allowed to have joy, so freedom as well. For as in the day, verse 4, of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, their rod, their oppressor. We're allowed to have freedom. I mean, it's in the Old Testament. It's one of the best methods of evangelism. There's a guy called Ray Comfort. Who's heard of Ray Comfort? Yeah, a few of you have. That's good. Well, Ray Comfort is quite often on Christian channels, and he goes up to people in the street and other people with him, and he witnesses to people. And he says to people, do you believe in God? And or are you a Christian or whatever? And ask them various questions. And he says to them, in terms of the Ten Commandments, so it said, have you ever taken God's name in vain? Yes, whatever. Have you ever lied? Have you ever done this or whatever? And people think, well, I'll go for the Ten Commandments. And, well, actually, I have done that one or that one. And this man says, you are destined to go to hell forever. There's no way out of it. You'll be punished and that's it. In fact, if you were to die now, you'd come before God and there was no way he would accept you at all. He couldn't even look at you. You're disgusting, as is every person in the planet. However, Jesus Christ has died and you have complete forgiveness and you can go right into his presence. And that is the freedom that they're talking about. The freedom that Jesus has brought means that we can be free from guilt, free from whatever we've done. Joy, freedom, salvation. Verse 7, of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accompany this. And salvation, freedom from oppression from the devil. There is a film out called, who's heard of this? The Guernsey Literary Potato Peel Society. Who's heard of that? You've heard of it. Some of you heard of it. It is a film written about a book club that took place in the island of Guernsey in the Second World War during the Nazi occupation. Now, in Guernsey, they used to have a thing called monitors. Now, in the Second World War, a monitor was So if this was Guernsey in 1942 now, you'd have a monitor at the back. A monitor will be a Nazi soldier sat at the back with a machine gun watching everything you do and say. Fishermen will go out and there'll be a monitor. They call them monitors, but basically it's an SS guard. And, you know, there was curfew there. And Jackie's mother was born during the occupation. There are people down there who had, stories in their family of the Nazi occupation. I lived in Guernsey for 15 years. And I remember me and Jackie watched this film a few nights ago because somebody gave it to us. And I just thought, that's incredible. People have no idea what it was like to be there. And I'm in the central shopping street, I've got a picture of then and now, the same street. And right now, there's sort of Christmas lights up and people walking through because there's no COVID curfew there because coronavirus is, they're actually blocked off. It's like a Faraday cage, blocked off from the outside world. Normal in Guernsey, but you can't go in or out because there's no cases of COVID there, or two, I think. But in the same picture from the 40s, there was SS soldiers walking through. And at the end of the war, what happened was the British troops come in and they were liberated and taken out. And the joy on people's faces, on May the 9th every year, they celebrate it. But right throughout the war, nobody knew that the war would end in 1945. They thought it would be a thousand-year Reich, and suddenly there was liberation. And it's the same as with salvation. Isaiah is saying here, I am seeing what is happening around me. And Isaiah prophesied before the occupation, the invasion, and after. It's quite strange how he's prophesying the future, but also what's happening before. But then he suddenly says, look, it's not a case of horses and chariots coming across. It's a case of Jesus dying humbly. And by faith, we accept it and accept that it's true. And we are given grace. And we are not only given eternal salvation, we are given complete freedom. And then we have to be that good news to all that we meet. I want to finish with an illustration. I may use the illustration in a minute, but we now have to be that good news to all that we meet. If we haven't got operational Christianity, then I think we need to have. In other words, sort of somehow interacting with people. Because we will meet people who are afraid to die. I can't even visit the hospital at the moment because of these silly rules, but when I can, I'll go down there and visit whichever one of you are in there and walk around and chat to other people. But we can be this freedom for other people. Isaiah knew his future. God didn't immediately set him free from the physical restraints they had there. He may have also had physical, medical restraints. God didn't set him free from the situation, but he told him exactly what was going to happen in the future. And Christmas is a time where we remember that Jesus Christ came to this earth and set us free. And he is here right now. And what I'll say to every one of you here is you know the stuff, but make it operational. Make it there in your life. Make it make a difference in your life. Just allow it to help you to survive today and survive tomorrow. And don't worry about what's going on the other side of the Atlantic. It's not a problem to me. It's very, very strange, but let them get on with it. Or Brexit, I couldn't care two hoots about Brexit either way. I'm not getting into all that. That's worshipping political ideals. I'm not totally sure if God's for one or the other, because he cares about everybody in Europe and he cares about immigrants as well. So I simply don't know. Now, don't write me off as a heretic, because I'm not into all this right-wing hyper-prophecy. I'm not into all left-wing hyper-prophecy either. I'm into the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And any politician who walked through this door, I'll greet them with respect and love and help them. So don't worry about what God's doing in Europe or anywhere else. Just put your trust in Jesus. And just to, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. Verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That light was and is Jesus. He's still with us at Christmas time. He'll be with you at your lowest points. He'll be with you when you think about next year and wonder, how the heck can we get through 2020? He'll be with you whatever happens. And he's still here right now. and in you, he can help you to make a difference in the community around you. What I want to do right now, so 3 minutes past, I want us to wait in silence, if we can do. And I want us to just maybe allow a time for prayer for anybody who wants to pray. If you want to pray out, let's do that now, because it'd be really, really good. Lord, we thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word was far more important and far more encouraging than any bits that I added onto it. Lord, we have faith in Jesus Christ. And when we read the Gospels, when we read Mark, when we read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Peter, and other stuff in there, we see a people who absolutely believe this, understood it, were living in it, and have that hope, and it is infectious, and it jumps out of the page and sets us on fire. And my prayer for every person in this room right now, for all people here, for Mike and Judy, for John and John, and for David, for Brian, for Wayne and June, for Fred, for Mary, for Paul, and for David and myself, Lord, is that we will... Oh, Lord, that you're doing us what you want to do. Take away any fear. Take away any depression. Take away any guilt. Lord, I pray that we can, for all the people we meet, we can be like you, Jesus, and bring that darkness. So bring the light into those dark places. There are lots of dark places at the moment, Lord. But I pray that we can be the light that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.